Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Thank you, Jesus! Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth. This is the 350th edition of SDG, Solo Day of Glory. And can you imagine that, folks? 350 weeks we've been getting together here. Some of us, at least. We've been getting together and sharing God's glorious word. Well, the title of today's message, folks, and this 350th message is Maturing as True Believers. We're going to focus on a very powerful message that Paul shared with the church at Corinth in his first letter, chapter 2. Now, just remember, I want to do a quick recap again, because over the last several weeks, we've looked at some very powerful, and I mean powerful, biblical truths that all interrelate. You know, we started with a promise from God for our eternal security. That is, as a true John 3:36 believer. And then we looked at the consequences in the life of a true believer. And then last week, we kind of tied it together with what it means to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And we tried to do that from a new perspective. And, you know, when you stop and pause and reflect upon this and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you, you know what this all adds up to? Well, it adds up to maturity in the life of a true John 3:36 believer. So this week, I just thought it'd be a good idea to look at maturity in our Christian walk. What's it mean? What's it mean to a John 3:36 believer? Now, you know, in society, we're always grouping and classifying. You can buy paint, you know, at the store, good, better, best. You can buy a riding lawnmower, good, better, best. You can see it at Sears, you know, if you still have a Sears near you. I just saw it the other day when I was out to lunch with a guy from work. But the point I'm trying to make here is that even people are classified into groups. It's just in our nature to do that. You know, we'll divide people by economic classes. You have upper, middle, and lower class, or maybe by skin color, white, black, red, yellow, brown. And lately, there's all these crazy made-up gender orientations. How many are there now? Over 50? Really? Come on, folks, give me a break. 50 genders? No, there's two, male and female. Unless you want to change what words mean, like Humpty Dumpty said, words mean what I want them to mean. But you know, in truth, what St. Paul's shown us here in this part of the letter to the Corinthians is that there's truly only three types of people. And here they are, writing them down, folks. We're either carnal, natural, or spiritual. You know, and this is the rock-ribbed truth from the Word of God. So in this message, what we're going to do is look at something that I learned many, many years ago from my Bible teacher, Pastor Adrian Rogers. And then, like I've told you over the weeks, the Holy Spirit's kind of worked this in me and revealed it to me in deeper and more meaningful ways. And I'd like to share this with you. I'd like to share three marks of a spiritual person with you. I'd like to show you some attributes of a natural person with you. And then what's it mean to be a carnal person? So I'm just telling you, as I've walked with the Lord over these years and the Holy Spirit's taught me about growing in Christ, I've learned one thing. You know what I've learned? It's not automatic. It isn't. In fact, it takes a lot of hard work. So the point I'm trying to make here is you're not saved by works. You're not pleasing God more by works. But when you start this journey, when you put the world behind you and the cross before you, and you start walking with Christ, it is hard work, folks. It has to be actively pursued. And just like I've warned you in the past, okay, if you're a true believer, be very careful if you're not maturing in Christ. Because there are eternal consequences for not doing so, even in heaven. So this isn't just something on this side of eternity. This is something that you'll carry for the rest of your existence, which is eternity. So Father, I just hope and pray that we accomplish in this message growth, growth in all of us, growth to spiritual maturity, including myself, Lord, by first helping us to see where we are right now on what I'll call the continuum of faith. We just pray this in the name and the precious blood of Jesus. Amen? So, you know, it's very important to know where you are on this continuum of faith because it tells you where you got to get to. And, you know, the truth is that unless you know where you are right now, there's no roadmap in the world or in all of God's spiritual realm that's going to be any good to you. You've got to know where you are right now. So I'm telling you the truth when I say we all truly need to be striving in this area of maturity. And to be able to do that and to head in the right direction, you have to know where you're at right now. Especially in this postmodern age, you know, where the basics of the faith, once delivered unto the saints, isn't being focused on anymore in most of our churches. You know, today in these mega churches, it just seems like it's all about the experience, not the truth. And in the process, truth's being sacrificed at this altar. Let's call it the altar of convenience, the altar of pragmatism, been cool, whatever you want to call it. You know, last week, we flipped the television on. Terry likes to catch a couple of those morning messages. And our former church has a Sunday morning broadcast on Fox, the local Fox station here in Pittsburgh at 8 a.m. And they have their service from the week before on. And that was the old Pittsburgh East. It's now called Amplify. And Jason was on it, the pastor. And he loves the message. And, you know, if you want to read it, great. But he's up there preaching from the message, and that's okay. You want to do that? That's fine. And then he refers to it as the message translation. And you may be thinking, well, okay, what's the big deal about that? Well, folks, it's not a translation. It's a paraphrase, not a translation. Now you still may be thinking, okay, what's the big difference? Paraphrase, translation, what's the big deal, Broken? Well, the truth is, folks, that a paraphrase is merely one man's opinion, whereas a translation, whether a good one or a bad one, it had to follow a set of guidelines. And it had to define the source documents that it used, whether good or bad, when it was translated into the English language. So why do I make a big deal about this? Well, because soon I see this day coming when people are going to start using these paraphrases like the message to establish doctrine. And folks, I'm telling you, that's dangerous. But enough on that, okay? And, you know, I've had a couple of you email me. You thought maybe it'd be a good idea to do a message on these translations. And if that's something that's stirring in your heart, let me know. And I could get into that and share what I've learned on that with you. But let's get back to this message right now on maturing as true believers. So like I said, I just pray the Father God, open these biblical truths to us today, the ones that we cover in this broadcast, and make them useful to all of us as Christians, new or mature, and help us to find our place in this continuum of faith. Father, I just pray that in the name and precious blood of Jesus, help us to grow in the faith once delivered unto the saints. Okay, so let's dive into this now. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we've got Paul. He's telling us to focus, okay? Focus on this right now, because he's got something powerful to tell us. And he wants to tell us about three classes of people. First of all, the natural man. That's from verse 14 out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Then he talks a little later on in verse 15 about the spiritual man. But he that is spiritual judges all things. And then three, over in the first verse of chapter 3 out of 1 Corinthians, he talks about the carnal man. And he said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So right here, right in the Bible, St. Paul classifies all of us either as the natural, the spiritual, or the carnal man and woman. You see that there? Now, like I've said, while society could divide us in a variety of ways, essentially based on material status, the Bible, it takes us and classifies us with respect to our standing or our position or our relationship to God based on spiritual issues, which I'm telling you, in the end, is all that really matters. It's the only thing that endures. All this is just going to be gone. So really, the only true classification is whether you're a natural, spiritual, or carnal person. And remember, why does it matter? What's this all about? Why am I doing this today? Because the Bible's like a roadmap, and a map's no good unless you know where you are right now. Because that's really important if it's going to help you get to go to where we all need to be. You know what I'm saying? You remember the first question God asked Adam? Remember what it was? He said, Adam, where are you? Now, of course, God knew where Adam was, didn't he? He didn't ask that question because he needed an answer. God knew exactly where Adam was. He knew where Adam and Eve were, both physically and spiritually. So why did God ask a question like that? Well, he did it so they'd reflect on it. Okay? But think about the situation they're in and reflect. And in a similar manner, folks, we all need to ask ourselves these three crucial questions. Okay? First of all, am I a natural man or a woman? Do you know what I mean? You know, do you know what it means to do what comes naturally? Do you know what I mean by that, folks? Now, first thought, that might sound pretty good. I used to think it did. Oh, it's all natural. It's healthy. It's just exercising my body, you know, whatever your natural inclination might have been, okay? So like I said, at first thought, that might sound really good, but listen to what Paul says about that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Did you catch that? What did he say? By nature, we are children of wrath. I don't know if it's that good to be natural anymore, you know? So what are three marks of the natural man or the natural woman? What are they? You have any idea? Well, first of all, you have to be born into the world, okay? You have to be born into the natural world. And this is a prerequisite for all of us, okay? Because we all start as the natural man or the natural woman. And years ago, I heard Vice President Dick Cheney say this. Remember Bush, too, was talking about being born again or twice born? And I remember Cheney saying this, and I was trying to look for the clip because I wanted to play it for you. But he said this openly and publicly, so I don't mind sharing this with you right now. But he said, I count myself lucky. Did you hear that word too? Lucky. To have been born once. I certainly have not been born twice. He was mocking what Bush said. I can't believe Cheney said that, you know, because there's a day coming, folks, when he's going to regret not being born twice. And that's because if you're only born once, you got to die twice. First, there's the physical death. And then after the resurrection, the white throne, and the second spiritual death. But praise the Lord if you're born twice, because then you only die once. Like that seed that's put in the ground and which springs forth. So, folks, it's a Bible fact. It is. That as true believers, we could die before the rapture, you know, but that which is born again, it just goes on and on. So we're gonna be back in our resurrection bodies. Death can't hold us down. So ask yourself, have I been born twice? You know, the problem is that we get something from our first birth when we're born into this natural world. It's the nature of this world. You know, if you see a wormhole in the apple, I hope you don't think that that hole is there because the worm was sitting on the outside of the apple and he just tunneled into the apple through that hole. That's not how it works. That worm didn't come in through the hole. He come out through the hole. So that wormhole didn't let the worm in. It let the worm out. You know what I'm talking about? So then how'd that worm get into the apple? Well, he was hatched into there from the blossom. You see, there was a bug or an insect that laid an egg on that blossom before that apple was formed. So that worm came out of the very heart of the apple, came from the inside out. And likewise, you know, Jesus says all sins that are in man come out of our hearts. Even those cute little babies, you know, they all have deceitful hearts full of lies. You know, full of selfishness and even some hatred. Did you ever see that rage in a baby when it didn't get its way? Yeah, even those precious little babies, it's born into us. It's our nature. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then listen to Psalm 51, verse 5. We read this a few weeks ago when we were looking at the consequences of sin in the life of a believer. Listen to this. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So yes, folks, even babies, really, even babies have this in their very heart and their very nature. Think about it. Just think about it for a minute. You ever have to teach a baby how to steal? No, you don't have to teach a baby how to steal. Isn't that true? You have to teach them not to steal. Or you have to teach that cute little toddler how to be selfish. No, you have to teach the toddler how to share. Do you ever see a toddler when it's playing with his toys and somebody comes with their little toddler? What happens? You have to teach the toddler to share. And how about your little one? You have to teach him how not to tell lies. No, you have to teach him to tell the truth. The Bible says the wicked are estranged from the womb. Psalm 58, verse 3. and they go straight speaking lies as soon as they can. So as natural men and women, we're all born that way. We're born sinners from the womb. And get this. Just think about this one. This will blow your mind, but it's true. If you took all the good in the entire world from each and every natural born man, woman, and child, from the entire world, past, present, and future, all who have ever lived, all who will ever live, all who are living right now, that's billions upon billions of people. And just distill down all of their good into one man, put it into one person. Well, guess what? There still wouldn't be enough good in that one person to save his single soul, to save her single soul. There's not enough goodness in all of humanity to save but one person. They'd still have to bow their knee at the cross. They'd still have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior. So the Bible's telling us that in our very own nature, there's nothing good. By nature, we're children of wrath. And since all natural men are born into the natural world, that's all of us, we're blind to the spiritual world without the grace of God. Listen to verse 14 again. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now this word receive, that literally means to welcome. So it's not something by nature that you're going to welcome. It's only understood spiritually. You can put a natural man into one of these modern contemporary worship services, you know, the hip ones that you see on TV, like my former church. Okay? And they're all over now. They call them seeker-friendly, next generation, mega churches. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of good things in that service that the natural man would truly appreciate. Okay? He really would. Even if he doesn't know Jesus, even if he's spiritually asleep, spiritually dead, he'd appreciate that contemporary music. There's a good beat, a deep, solid sound, you know? There's a great melody playing along with that thumping rhythm. I'm telling you, the natural man just loves that. I see it when these people came, you know? They'd be swaying along with the music. There'd be these big grins on their faces. Natural man loves that. It's a good concert. And then he loves the attention, the VIP teams and the greeters give them with all the handshaking, the high fives, the Jesus hugs all around. You know what I'm talking about? Makes you feel included. So he says, you know, I like those people down at the mega church. They're just so friendly in that coffee shop. Oh, with that Oakmont bakery pastry. Wow, it's so good. Plus, you know, the natural man would even enjoy these soul-stirring sermons, these messages, with all the eye-catching video effects, the flashing lights, you know. That bling, folks, what that bling does is it catches our attention. And so soon, these people, they'd be saying, well, that makes sense. And why? Because it's stirring the soul. So I can understand why natural man would be attracted to all that kind of stuff. Okay? And I can even understand why natural man would get excited about these mega churches and their growth and all the goals they've set and then start giving money for these projects, like expanding their kid stuff venue into a Nickelodeon studio-grade soundstage or building a library in Uganda. I get all that, folks. And that's because all of this can be understood by natural man. But what he doesn't understand are the things of the Spirit of God. So what I'm trying to say is he's stirred emotionally and maybe even intellectually, but he does not understand the things of the Spirit. And so if there is a supposed salvation, if there is a supposed repentance, it's with worldly sorrow like I've talked about, not with godly sorrow. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. So all of this soul stirring, okay, all that high-fiving and Jesus hugs and the laser shows and all that, that's not getting down to the Spirit, okay? That's just stirring the soul. So when that person hears you or me say, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, Jesus died for my sins. Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. You know, when you're getting into all that, You know what? He just doesn't understand it. He looks at you and he says, what? And that's because he's born natural, but blind to the spiritual. They can't even enjoy the true things of God. Okay, now, sure, they can enjoy something externally or on a soulish level, like I described above, but not in a deep spiritual sense. And if that isn't corrected, if there isn't godly sorrow and a true repentance and a true salvation, I'm going to tell you this. Heaven would be miserable to them because it would make no sense to them unless they get born again, truly born again. John 3:36, born again. Just think about it. Think about an eternity in heaven with all those redeemed by Jesus going around saying, hallelujah, praise the Lamb, Jesus died for our sins. All the while, they'd be clueless to what that even means. Folks, I'm telling you, the natural man doesn't even know what to do when it rains on a Saturday afternoon. They get bored. They have no appreciation or understanding for the deep spiritual matters. You know, folks, when I can't work in the summertime on a rainy Saturday, and I've got everything taken care of in the shop and in the house, you know what I do? I dive into my Bible, and I love it. The natural man, he needs constant amusement or entertainment. Again, from verse 14, God says, neither can he know them. So he can't figure out all this talking about right now, even if he wanted to. So don't ever let it get into your head. Don't let stinking thinking get into your head that you can take this Bible and by your mere intellect, okay, by your mere willpower, discern what it is. There's not even one soul in this entire world, not even St. Paul, who could do that. That's why St. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And listen to this. This is so powerful, and it's been botched and mistranslated in the modern. But here's what it says in the King James. Let a man so account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. More so, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So you have to be born again if you're going to do anything with regard to ministry. If you're going to do anything as a steward to the mysteries of God, you have to first be born again. Folks, that's why I'm so concerned when these pastors are calling Bible paraphrases translations, you know, and why I go absolutely crazy when I hear what some of the seminaries are doing, hiring non-believers to teach on their faculty. And why these modern translation committees like the NIV includes unsaved translators and even some people living proudly in vile moral status. Just look at the translation committee for the 1984 NIV and read up on some of these people and what they've said about God and how they've chosen to live. And so when they're sitting there with their Greek and their Hebrew, be it a good or bad source document, let's not even get into that right now. But when they're sitting there and making a decision on what word to use to render, where do you think their heart is? The point here is that until we're born again, we'll never understand this book. So why are they on seminaries teaching? Why are they in these translation committees deciding how to render this verse? The Bible says, neither can they know them. They are spiritually discerned. And why not? Why can't they know them? Well, here's a way that might make it a little clearer. Think about television and radio before the days of Sirius and DirecTV and cable. Well, even DirecTV and Sirius, they use waves, okay? But you have these TV and radio signals, okay? Or even a cell phone or Wi-Fi. And look out for what's coming with that 5G, okay? When that goes full scale, these waves are going to go deadly, toxic on us, even though you can't see them. Call them 5G death rays, and boy, that's a topic for another day. Maybe we have to do another Time Is Now broadcast, huh? Well, the point I'm trying to make is none of these radio waves, none of these TV waves, none of them could be seen or received without a receiver. And in the same sense, in the spiritual realm, there's this unseen world out there broadcasting on God's spirit station. Let's call it WORD. The Word of God. So if you're a natural man, okay, and you don't have your spirit awakened, if you don't have your spirit in tune with God's spirit, then you're not going to receive, okay? You're not going to receive these things. You know, view it as a receiver. or the lamp of the Lord, as the Bible calls it. The Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 27, and it's best said in the New King James, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. So the Bible says he's not going to welcome these things of God, and neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So that lamp, our spirit, has to be lit by God. And then the natural man or woman is in that process of being born again. Listen to what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? One of the top religious leaders of the time, member of the Sanhedrin, a master theologian in Israel today. And Jesus said, well, aren't you a master? Aren't you a master in Israel? Yet you don't understand these things? I'm going to read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be in him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. So now, of course, this Nicodemus, he had all that seminary training, all that education, but he simply could not understand. And folks, that's my exact concern with these professors in seminaries and all the unsaved contributors on these modern translation committees. They cannot understand. That's like Nicodemus talking with Jesus. And these people are teaching our youth. And these people are translating our modern versions. How are they going to do this? They simply do not understand these spiritual matters. Yet they're teachers, stewards of the mysteries of God. Come on, folks. I'm telling you, there's something terribly wrong here in the body of Christ when we allow this sort of thing to happen. We're asleep on the watch. We're called to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered unto the saints. So we got to get up and do it. So when you or I talk to a saved person about Jesus, okay, and they look at us with that blank stare, or when I tell this to a pastor who's not awakened spiritually, he says, well, I just don't see your point, Ken. I've learned one thing. Don't argue with him. Telling you the truth, he doesn't understand it. Just allow the Holy Spirit to work on them. Pray for them. You know, maybe you planted a seed, or maybe you watered another one that someone else planted, and the Lord, he's going to reap the harvest. That's all we can do. Remember, the natural man's born into the natural world. He's blind to the spiritual world, and as such, he's just bound to the material world. So if I put it bluntly, there's only one world that he knows. He's a materialist, plain and simple, folks. And as such, he has no capacity, none whatsoever, for these spiritual matters I'm talking about right now. In Jude's letter, in verse 19, Jude describes this as sensual, as having not the Spirit. Now that word sensual, it's the same word that's translated here by Paul out of our focus scripture as natural. And it means living by the senses. So if you can't see this stuff, it's because you're a natural man. That's a problem, you know. There's a great void in each of our hearts, folks. A great, great void. And if it isn't filled by God, if it's not filled by God, you know, man's going to seek other ways to fill it. And some of those ways, so I'm going to put it bluntly, all those ways outside of God are perverse ways. So they'll try to fill this void, okay, with something other than God. And that's exactly what America is doing today. There's a great mathematician named Descartes, and he said there's this God-shaped vacuum in every man's heart, and man will never be satisfied until he knows the Lord. So let me ask you this question. Are you a natural man? Remember, he's born into the natural world. I'm born into the natural world. So are you. And as such, folks, we're all blind to the spiritual world. And until we're born again, we're bound by this material world. Okay? That's right, we're bound to it. Therefore, we can't know God, nor can we fellowship with him. We got to be born again. In order for that to happen, there's got to be a miracle. The Holy Spirit's got to move upon you. So that's the natural man. Does that fit you? Is that your MO? Then there's another classification. That's the spiritual man. And I got to get moving here. I talked too long on that. But listen to verse 15 again. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. So the spiritual man just does what comes naturally, sort of like a dog, you know. But then on the other hand, the spiritual man does what comes spiritually. And that's because the spiritual man wasn't just born once, but he's born twice. From verse 11, listen to this. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. And then listen to verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given us of God. Spirit man both lives by the spirit and knows by the spirit. Verse 12 said he received the spirit of God. And, you know, as such, we're twice born. We're born again. Folks, that's exactly what Jesus was trying to convince Nicodemus of. That's what he was trying to explain to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus just didn't get it. Now, when you stop and think about it, salvation isn't really all about getting man to heaven, but it's about getting God into man. The heaven part's a consequence or a side effect of getting God into you. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, folks, Christians are not simply changed or better people. We didn't just get washed up like that hog, you know, that I talked about a few weeks ago. In Christ Jesus, we're brand new. It's not like the tadpole that becomes the frog. It's more like the frog that's been kissed by the princess and becomes the prince. And that, folks, is a miracle. You know, I like to say when a man or woman gets saved and they get born again, it's like God's hands reaching out from heaven and pouring a little bit of his oil, the Holy Spirit, into our lamps, which are our spirits, and then he lights it. Remember Proverbs 20:27 that I just read before? And then from verse 12 again. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, the Holy Spirit oil that's put into the lamp, which is our spirit, God's lamp in us. Now, when you get born again, three distinguishing marks occur. And first of all, that's that we have life by the Spirit. We learn by the Spirit, and then we're liberated by the Spirit. We literally have a freedom, not to sin, but a freedom from the very power of sin in our lives. How? By the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God in us. That just about sums it all up, you know? Life, learning, and liberation, all by the Holy Spirit. So which one's you? Which category do you fall into? Are you like that dog just doing what comes naturally? Or are you twice born doing what comes supernaturally? Life by the Spirit, learning by the Spirit, liberation by the Spirit. Folks, we got to understand this if we want to live the life of a true John 3:36 Christian. You know, Christianity isn't merely being a changed person or doing better or kicking the old habits. It's literally a brand new life through the new birth. And now we're enabled and capable to actually allow God to do miracles through us. So first of all, there's this life by the Spirit. It's like the kiss of grace almost. It transforms us from the natural man to the spiritual man. And then this learning by the Spirit, and that begins when we receive the Spirit. We receive it. We begin to learn by God. And that's because of what the Bible said in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. And when you think about it, you know, the Illuminati and all that stuff, it's all a counterfeit. God wants to illuminate you and me. So when we get saved and he fills our spirit, his lamp, with his oil, his Holy Spirit, and then he lights it, he illuminates us from the inside out, giving us direction to our soul. Remember what our soul is, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And then we're able to properly direct our bodies, not to do what comes naturally like the dog, but to do what comes spiritually. Isn't that awesome? So in God's perfect plan, there's this divine order of things. Okay? It's the Spirit of God communing with the Spirit of man through the lamp of the Lord, which is our spirit, being illuminated by the Holy Spirit, which has given light to our lamp. And then our mind, our will, and our emotions, our soul is directed by our spirit telling our bodies what to do. Okay. But in the natural man, his spirit, God's lamp, it's cut out. There's no oil in it. It's burnt out. It's out of oil. So that man's in the dark. And he ends up operating solely by instinct, just like a dog, doing what comes naturally, not spiritually. So the spiritual man has a life by the Spirit, and he lives by the Spirit. And then, as a consequence of that order of things, he's liberated through the Spirit. Listen again to verse 15. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So that term, judges all things, what's that mean? Well, that word judges means it's an inward discernment, okay? So this is implying that as a spiritual man or woman, we have a different value system than the natural man or woman. In other words, as true believers, John 3:36 believers, we're to do this self-examination. And then on the basis of that self-examination, as we're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we're to make moral and spiritual judgments. And that's because the spiritual man sees with the mind of Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Christ, did you hear that? And you know what that is? That's the wisdom and power of God. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, which defines Christ. Okay? The power of God and the wisdom of God. Folks, I'm telling you, this is why Paul beseeches you and me to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. You know, when you do that, folks, your minds are transformed from the world's way to God's way. And that's Jesus. And why? So that we may know without doubt, without any hesitation, God's good, perfect, and acceptable will. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Is this making sense, folks? You know, the world system doesn't conform the spiritual man anymore. It can't squeeze him into that world mold anymore, that materialistic new world order mold. You can't do it. The spiritual man's not like the millions and millions of lost souls out there just marching straight to hell. No, no, no. You know, they believe whatever the media and the politicians tell them, whatever the doctors tell them. No, the spiritual man sees through all that. That's why he can't be manipulated anymore. And that's why Christians are persecuted. The spiritual man understands what makes the unsaved man tick. But the unsaved man, they can't understand the spiritual man. They think we're the strange ones. They call us oddballs. They call us sick because, you know, that lust of the flesh that everybody's into, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, it doesn't entice us anymore. They can't see why we don't want what they want, and that upsets them. In short, like I've said, the spiritual man lives, learns, and is liberated. How? By the Holy Spirit. So have you found yourself in this description yet? Are you the natural man? Born into the natural world, blind to the spiritual world, bound by the material wants and enticements of this world? Or are you the spiritual man, born twice, living by the Spirit, learning by the Spirit, and liberated by the Spirit? Which one describes you? Well, maybe neither. And maybe that's because you're the carnal man, you're the carnal woman, doing what comes unnaturally. Yeah, unnaturally. Now, a carnal man, that's a spiritual freak, okay? It really is. Yeah, they're born again, but they're neither hot nor cold. They're lukewarm. They're someone who's been saved, and yet they're very strange. They don't fit into either class of natural or spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Listen to this. And I, brethren, speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. So he's talking to believers here. And then he goes on to say, even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So here Paul's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ, brethren, yet he has to speak to them carnally and not spiritually. So what's it mean to be a carnal man? What's it mean to be a carnal woman? Well, there are three characteristics. First of all, you're defeated. Yeah, you're a Christian, yet you're defeated. Verses 1 and 2 from chapter 3 speak of this. They say you can't walk, you can't work, you can't even war spiritually. And why? Because you're a baby. Not physically, but spiritually. Now, I'm telling you, all churches, and this is part of the process, all churches have spiritual babes. But some of these spiritual babes are 40 years or older, you know? I mean, they've been spiritual babes for 40 years. I'm not talking about a new believer in Christ who's 40 years old. I'm talking about somebody who might be 60-year-olds, got born again when they were 20, and been going around like a spiritual baby for 40 years. Now, you know, babies are cute. I won't deny that. But all babies need to become children, and then all children have to grow up. Folks, I'm telling you, it's okay to be a baby for a while. In fact, like I said, it's cute. But come on, folks. We got to all grow up. You know, Paul couldn't speak under these types of people as spiritual. And that's because they haven't been liberated through the Spirit. So Paul had to speak to them as babies. Now, you know, as a carnal Christian, if you've been in the faith for any amount of time, it's actually a contradiction in terms. It's like speaking about a heavenly devil, you know, or dry water, okay? Or, I don't know, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like a contradiction in terms. Now, I know what I'm talking about now might sound harsh, but I believe that in the Christian world today, what I like to call Christendom, okay, the average Christian's carnal. Now, be careful here. I didn't say the normal Christian. Christian isn't normal anymore. Like I said, I call this Christendom. It's the broader thing where people will put on their Facebook profile, I'm a Christian. There was a Christian icon of the past, and if you haven't studied any of his material, I strongly encourage that you do it. He was a friend of some of the big names in the faith, and he used to speak all over the country. Billy Graham was a friend of his. His name was Dr. Vance Habner. And if you want some information on him, email me and I'll send it to you. But listen to what he said about the church today. And this was years back, and it's worse today. Okay? He said that when a person becomes a normal Christian, that's a spiritual one, the second classification here by Paul, he seems abnormal to the rest of Christendom. And here's his quote. Most church members live so far below the standard, you have to backslide to be in fellowship with them. Now, be careful here, folks. Once you become spiritual, in the Christian definition of spiritual, don't think you've finished the race. You've just begun. The race just began for you. Don't think you've done anything wonderful. Don't think that God's high-fiving you. I mean, he loves you and everything, but this is just the beginning of the race. Everyone who confesses Christ as Lord and Savior, every John 3:36 believer, ought to be a spiritual Christian. It's the carnal Christians who are doing what's unnatural. So that carnal Christian that Paul's describing here, he's defeated and he's also dependent. Paul says they're like spiritual babes. They have to be fed milk. Paul's their spiritual milkmaid, so to speak. You know, carnal Christians, they depend upon their preachers to feed them each and every week, week after week after week, like a baby. And then they even want to be burped and maybe have their diapers changed. They simply refuse. They will not open their Bibles during the week. They won't do it. They won't feed themselves. They just won't do it, folks. They won't feed themselves the Word of God during the week. Can you imagine a 40-year-old man refusing to feed himself his steak dinner at the cookout this weekend? That's what it's like in the spirit realm, folks. He'd be sitting there. He'd be just like kicking his feet in the chair, waiting for mommy to come over and put a bib around him, cut up his meat, and start feeding it to him. Wouldn't that be abnormal? Well, that's what the carnal Christian is in the church. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews said in chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. Of whom we have many things to say, talking about these folks, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye all are dull of hearing. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such have the need of milk and not a strong meat. So they're like those babies that need to be fed, yet they've been in the faith for 40 years, and that's just plain unnatural. In fact, it's a bit disgusting. Plus, these carnal Christians, they're very divisive. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 tells us that, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So there's all that bad stuff, and it happens among these people, envying, strife, divisions. You know, they were saying, well, we're not of Apollos, we're of Paul, you know, or we don't follow Paul, we follow Stephen. Or they were dividing. They're like little babies. So what happened to this church? Well, they were there dividing over all these trivialities, you know, just like babies. Like babies fight, like the toddlers fight over toys. You know, babies and little toddlers, they can be so immature, they'll pull those hissy fits. And you see that going on in a spiritual level in our churches all the time. They're the ones that can't get along. And they'll split the church over the most trivial things, like where to put the flag up at the front of the altar, you know? Stupid stuff. And that's because they're defeated, they're dependent, they're divisive. So let's just get a recap here, and I'm going to wrap this up because I'm going on and on. You know, the spiritual man, they do what comes naturally, just like the dog. The natural man does what comes naturally, just like the dog. The spiritual man, he does what comes spiritually. And then the carnal man, he's just plain unnatural. He's a spiritual freak. So which one are you? You know, folks, I love y'all. I really, truly do. And I hope you said, well, I'm a spiritual man. But if not, and you're saved, here's all you got to do. You just got to come to Jesus. Simply repent and trust, and then trust and obey. And you're back on that spiritual way, folks. And if you've been listening to this, and you're the natural man, and a lot of this doesn't make sense, but you just know there's something stirring in you, Jesus is calling you. The Holy Spirit's just wooing you. Jesus wants to forgive you. So go to him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I don't want to live like this anymore. I've sinned against you in your most high and holy way. Forgive me, Lord. Just get on your knees. Just get on your knees right now and say, Jesus, I believe you died and was buried and rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, sent the Holy Spirit to minister us all. Your blood covers me. Forgive me for my sins. I confess you as Lord and Savior. Just do that. And I'll tell you what, you can start right now walking in his light, his life, his learning, and have liberty over sin in the Spirit. You really, truly can, folks. So I hope you all have a great holiday weekend with your family. And provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week. We're still here with another message from the Word of God. So let's all come to Jesus, Chris Rice. I love you all.
Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus and live. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and still can feel the pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, and cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus and live. With with your final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side, and fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus, fly to Jesus.